Blog Talk Radio. The Cargill and Lions shall break every chain. The conquering lions shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Esoteric knowledge and not exoteric knowledge, which you will learn through secret societies. What we're going to do is travel through many secret societies. And you know, Brother Drew, I'm in one of them traveling moves. And you know when Brother Dwyer slash Meatball get in one of them traveling moves, you finna go deep. So what you need to do is get you some pen and paper, because I'm finna give you a hit list. Because what we're going to do, we're going to ask ourselves a question. The King James 1881 Bible, Miss Shirley, who's listening up in Illinois, you have to use this book, because we have to thank the Jews for putting this book together. It was called a forbidden book for 350 years. So when we dissect this book, like we, Cole and I came up with a way of dissecting this book, and I came up with hit lists, and we do the numbering systems. After so many years of study, I came up with this hit list system that we need to, if we ask ourselves questions and go into the book and let the book answer it. In other words, we're going to ask the Bible, ask the question, and open the book and let the book, let our fingers do the walking in the book and the book do the talking, because we can thank the Jews. I keep saying that over and over. We thank these Jews for writing these books and leaving these this history back. So we are studying the history of Israel and Judah. This Bible is the history of Israel and Judah. Ain't no holy book. We're going to study it just like it's written. And to study it like it's written, it's called esoteric knowledge. So we're going to get to traveling. We're going to go to 1 Samuel 9 and 9. And 9 and 9 is coded. I shoot you some of the numbering system that what me and Cole found out after an intense study. 9 don't never change. That means that this scripture that we are about to read, it never changes. And that was a sign for us as we were studying. Like I said, like Cole and I tell you, don't believe a damn thing we say, just do the damn research. And so we finna do a little, let the book do the talking. So one key word that we found in studying was this word called seer, S-E-E-R. And the definition of seer, which is a noun, is a person who foresees and foretells future events by using past events. And so this is what a seer, that's the definition of seer. You'll see this word seer, 7 scriptures in the Bible, you will see this word seer. So when we go to 1 Samuel 9:9, it reads, "Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire on God," and we just came off the God lesson, meant for us, we had to do the God lesson before we can do this, so everybody know who God is. So some words we got to go back and put it into the ancient where it had been translated out. When we get to the word God and Lord, we have to translate it out. And this word here would be Yah instead of God. "Thus he speak, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer," meaning that Yah had seers. After a certain period in time, when Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all these people came on, they became prophets. But the first word is a seer. So it was first called a seer. So we found out what a seer is. A seer was a person that dealt with the oracles and the history of Yah. And it came a time where people forgot how to do the oracles themselves, that they had to go to a seer, someone that had remembered how to do the oracles, which later became the Levites and on and on and on. And you can recognize these people by certain signs. So in today's time, this is all that you and I can be as a Sith, because the only thing that we can do is study the history of the ancient time that was left here by Judah and Israel. So we see that the before time, this person was called a seer. So we understand that we are going to see a school. We are going to be able to see. And by being able to see, we're going to ask the book a question, and we'll have it formatted out that where it was to take us right straight down, and we'll have a conversation with this Bible. That's where we're going to have a little light fireside chat, man, Cole called it, with the Bible. So we found out that what the seer is, and we have the definition of what the seer, we found out that we find this at Samuel's 9 and 9. So this is seer's class. And so the word seer is a person who foretells the events by using past events. See, to look and proceed with the eyes, it is a verb. Proverb is a short, wise statement that is directly to the point, used from the ancient of times and days. That's a proverb. The definition of pro is the pros and cons of a question and the arguments of a for and against that question. So proverb, pre-R-O verb, is a compound verb, which we had to know the word proverb is action words. So when we deal with the word see, to look and precisely talk with the eyes, then if we go into Bible scriptures, go into a strong concordance, get your concordance, because we're doing some hell of a study now, you will see the word see, seeing, seen, S-E-E-M, S-E-A-N, S-E-E-R, S-E-E-S-T, S-E-E-T-H-E. All these scriptures that tell you about these words. And then when you, the last one, you were to be able to see things. Go in the Bible Concordance, you'll see things. You'll see the scriptures backing up, see things. We went through this. We can't go through all the scriptures. I'm just giving you a format on how Cole and I did it in order to come to what we come through right now and to be able to make this book talk to you like it was written. So we are going to be able to see things if we are a seer of history that has passed through these tribes in 2014. So we're coming up to 2014. So the next most important question to ask, since studying with me, you have studied the ways of Yah. We are teaching Yahwehism that came from the east to the west. You're talking to the Western Yah man. This is what we are, a tribe of people that are the Yah mans over here in the West. So what we asked ourselves, another question, after studying this book for such an intense time, we, Cole and I, asked ourselves a question. What did Yah say he loved the most? So we use this name Jesus, which was Yahshua. He only preached out of, taught out of four different books, the book of Isaiah, which was called Isaiah's, the book of Dabarim, which is Deuteronomy's, Proverbs, and Psalms, those four books. So those four books, these are the books that we're going to tap into to get the message out of. So when we read in the codes of how the Jews coded this book that was forbidden for 350 years, you read in the Bible codes, you'll see how we tap in to this. So when we tap in, we ask ourselves a question. What did Yah say he loved the most? Now, we go to Isaiah 61 and 7. That means this is perfect. We go to the 8th verse. The number 8 is 1 degrees above perfect, and it stands on 720 degrees because the number 8 is 2 cycles. That topping field 360 equals 720. 720 is 9, so this won't never change. It says, for I the Lord, remember we translating this back into, for I, Yah, love judgment. I hate robbery for a burnt offering, and I will direct thy works in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. He's talking to Israel now. He's talking to Israel. And that she shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offering springs amongst the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which Yah has blessed. So this, we're talking about a nation of people. And this same nation of people would come from the east to the west over here and get piled over here in the forms of African American. You already know that. So the message is for the African American. Now, when we read this, when Corey and I read this, key words in this here is, and I will make an everlasting covenant. So what we had to do then is, what was the everlasting covenant that he made with them? So we had to go, and they use a lot of trickeration. You know, I like the way the Jews did this, and they went from there to the book of, put it in the New Testament, and they put it up on the deep signs and symbols, numbers again. Let's go to the number. If we go to the 8th chapter of Hebrews, remember what the number is? Read all of it, but then go from 8th chapter of Hebrews to the 8th verse in that chapter. Two numbers. This is 1 degree above perfect. If you could understand what they were saying, this would make you 1 degrees above perfect. Now, remember, everlasting, but that's the key word. Behold, the day comes, said Yah, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, both tribes. Not according to the covenant that I had made with them, their fathers, in the days when I took them by the hand and to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, said Yah. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Yasharal, Israel, and in those days, said Yah, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. That word heart should be mind again. If it's going into, we're going to have to translate that back into the Hebrew word that's used there. So we're going to say, put my laws into their mind and write them in their mind, and I will be to them a father, Abba Yah, which would be in Hebrew, would be Abba Yah, which would be Father Yah, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and man his brother, saying, know Yah, for all that I know me from the least for the greatest, for I will be the merciful to their unrighteousness and to sin and their iniquity, that will I remember no more. Meaning that you had to remember that. How were you born? You're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You find that in your book. Everybody know that's scripture, where to find that. But when you read this, then you understand what Jesus was talking about, this character in the Bible called Jesus. Everything was dealing with your mind. So Yah created you in his image. He created, only part of you that's created in the image is your mind. We already knew that because you had to first know how was Yah's creation. So when we understood that that was Yah's creation, we understand that the new covenant right here was established to let you know that when people was telling you about somebody died for your sins and all this jive, that this mind, it was dealing your worship of doing the laws was strictly individual on you and you alone, and then come through a priesthood form of worship. And Jesus did away with the priesthood and cursed the priesthood. It wasn't temple form of worshiping. It was a one-on-one thing. Because, see, if you go into the sixth chapter of Matthew, when the disciples told you that, he asked him, how do you pray? Well, then he told you to pray a certain way, that you didn't need no mediator to deal with Yah. You divine to Yah, if you really needed to talk to Yah, and you come out with your divine in tools. Everybody was taught how to divine. The priest didn't divine for you, and people got scared of it, and then it came into a priesthood. Notice, everything was for each individual. You were taught how to divine for yourself by the age of 12, if you were taught correctly in the ways of Yah. Not the priesthood way. This was automatically told to you. And then we go back into Isaiah 61 and 2, and you can read the same thing about the mind. You read that chapter. Now let's ask us a question. What did Yah say about judgment? How was it going to be carried out? Isaiah, the 24th chapter of Isaiah, that is the judgment of the earth. These things are going on now. You read this for yourself, and then you come tell me next week, the wire or meatball or whatever you want to call me, you're a goddamn liar. You can't call me that, because goddamn it, if you read, what it says, reading is comprehension, and you ask yourself a damn question when you look out there on earth, is this shit going on or is it ain't going, not going on? Before you, when you get ready to call me crazy, because you can call me crazy as hell if you think that this ain't going on, I want you to just read. See, this, you got to read. You got to read. I know y'all don't like to read, but you got to read. The judgment on the nations is Isaiah 34 and all. Now, when you read that, ask yourself, where the hell is your white daddy fighting now, and who he fighting? Because where he fighting is ancient Babylon. You got to know this. Gaza is still in the book. He fighting Ishmael. And Isaac is fighting each other. That's what's going on right now. Same war that was in the book. Same tribes of people under other names as Muslims and Christians. Same damn people. Judgment on your black gluteus maximus. Judgment on the individual, read all of it. The 18th chapter of Ezekiel. Read these and ask yourself, is this really going on? Is it happening out there? Is you got earthquakes and Farmers Branch and King Texas and Farmers Branch where you ain't never seen earthquakes before? Earthquake come on the West Coast. This ain't the West Coast we live in. And ask yourself these questions. When you read this, this is what Cole and I did. Can we see? We got seals class going on. Can we see? Now, we already know that the five parts of the eye, Brother Drew, and the most important one is that you can't get caught up in each eye. And that means every person, you got a blind spot in your eye. So we don't want you to get blind spotted. We don't want you to get in that blind spot where you can't see, because you got a lot of African Americans out there that can't see, that's black, that can't see this. They can't see what's going on. But this book wrote and told you that the people wouldn't be able to see. So let's ask ourselves a very important question. And we ask that question, I'm going to have to, it's been such a long time since I did the speed racer stuff. Me and Cole used to call it, me and him running through the scriptures. That's what I'm going to have to do, speed racer, because certain things I want to, let's get a tag on it, because we are asked in the Bible what we're supposed to do. We got orders in the Bible that the Jews laid down back for us to get away from Magog and Gog before judgment come down. See, judgment is going to come down upon your white daddy for bringing you over here. You read that in the 15th chapter of Genesis, in Abraham's seed, in that 15th, 14th chapter. Go up there and read that. We done already did the study on that, and we already know who you are, African Americans. So when we go to Proverbs 24, verse 24, 25. I liked this one, Brother Drew. I fell in love with this one. It says, these things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that set upon the wicked, thou art righteous him, shall the people curse nations shall abhor him, but to him that rebuke him shall be delighted, and a good blessing shall come upon them. I like that, because, see, you ain't supposed to have no respect for nothing that's wrong. You ain't supposed to have it. Now, you got plenty of respect for homosexuality. Days looking like Sodom and Gomorrah. Plenty of respect for anything that's against y'all's teaching. You got plenty of respect for it. This is why y'all say, if you see these Negroes and crackers and Jews, Sioux, and Hindus out here not doing what y'all supposed to do, you ain't supposed to have no damn respect for them. And that's where I believe in this one to the maximum degree of maxtivity. And then let's go to Proverbs 14, do a little traveling, go to 14, 11, and where? And 14, Proverbs 14, 11, and 12. What did y'all say about your feelings? The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Now here it is right here. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Christianity and what your white daddy taught you seem right to you because you won't come out of her, my people. And this next proverb is the most important proverb it is that I found in studying the book of Proverbs. And believe me, I've studied the book of Proverbs over 15 years and rewrote and wrote, rewrote on it to understand it. And because I saw all the orders in that, Brother Drew, that we were supposed to do and what not, the Proverbs was the book of wisdom and knowledge. So this is how we had to get the wisdom and knowledge of Judaism and what these people was talking about the people that had come from the east to the west. Because all of these people done brought their gods over here to High Yah's country for Yah to judge their butt. This is the place of last judgment. Proverb 3 and 31, the most interesting proverb there is that I came across. And 3 and 3 and 1 were equal to 7. And I found out it's a short statement that's directly to the point, and it ain't but 9 words in it. And that's funny, Brother Drew. It's directly to the point. Proverbs 3:31 is the first commandment for all the coons that was enslaved by the white man and had the white man name. Envy thou not the oppressor and choose none of his ways. And let's go back to that word, nanya. You know, in case you Negroes don't know what N-O-N-E spell is, nanya, meaning none, not S-O-M-E, some. It says nanya, none. Get this through your teeth and paper tack, tan, dark complexion, maximum gluteus. Get this through your head. You say you believe in this book. Well, then, damn it to hell, let's walk with this book. The book talk to you. We talking to your dark complexion butt right now. Envy not your oppressor and choose none of his ways. Meaning the first thing you got to get rid of, Elijah Muhammad said, is his name. And you don't want to do that. And that's where you fall short. Now, let's ask ourselves one of the most important things that a Christian could ask himself. Were we supposed to believe the doctrine of Christianity, which believe in 3 different doctrines called the Nicene Creed, the Apostle Creed, and the Tertullian Creed? What do the Bible say about this? Well, let's go see first what y'all say in the book of Proverbs, which y'all call the Old Testament. That's what the Old Testament says. Now, if we go to Proverbs 4 and verse 1, it says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Let me read that again, Brother Drew. "Hear ye children the instructions of a father." It didn't say no goddamn God. "And attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tenderness, and only belong in the sight of my mother, who give you the laws." Do you understand that, African Americans? Do you understand what it says here? And he said, "I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my laws." Now, the Apostle Creed and the Nicene Creed and the Tertullian Creed clearly teaches that you live up under grace from the laws. And you can't call me no damn lie on this. Your teaching says that. Jesus didn't teach that. How you know Jesus didn't teach that? Well, hell, let's go see what the hippie said. Let's go pull up Revelation 2, verse 15. When we go to Revelation 2 and 5, I mean 2 and 6, we'll see, "But this thou hate thou, the deeds of the Nicolaitan that I also hate." So we were told that Jesus didn't hate nothing. But here we see all this rolled in red, and then it turns around that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. You didn't say it. What did it say? It said to the churches. So something is damn sure wrong with the churches. The churches must have been teaching something wrong. If Jesus was going to hate this, but see, you never did. You've been Bible studying for 110 years. You ain't never even asked yourself what Nicolaitan is, because if I ask any preacher with a summa cum laude, he don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And now we jump down to Revelation 2 and 14 says, I have a few things against them, because thou hast them behold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast that stone by before the children of Israel. Balaam is where this word L-O-R-D came from, because that's who it was. And then we go up here, look, 15, let's look at here. So has them also them that holds the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight them with the sword of my mouth. My mouth is just like a giant razor blade, tearing your white, ignorant ass up. You and them niggas, that's what they're talking about. This is why Paul told you to study to show yourself approved, because Brother Die Wise's mouth was going to be just like a giant razor blade cutting on your ass. It says that he that him, it goes right on back to the churches. When Jesus testified, let's go to the Revelation 2. He testified one thing, and he testified to the churches. Let's go to the last page. Revelation 22:18. For I testify unto every man that heareth this. It said, let's go 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now, this go back to the churches. Go to churches is teaching some bullshit. Your white daddy was. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. Now, this man is taught in theology all over the world that he was the offspring of Joseph. So, evidently, the church was teaching a damn lie. This is another thing that when we was reading, how we found out that Christianity had this big lie in it and 220,000 different errors in it. And so this is what we do. So let's ask ourselves another question. What did the book say about a person breaking this law? And then you turn around and have the nerves to pray to him. Let's go. When Cole and I were doing research, we found it very, very interesting how this book just talked to you. You know, see, and this here says, Proverbs 28:9. There we go with 10. That's y'all's number. 9. Never change. Add them together. That 19. 1 and 9 is 10. So y'all ain't bullshitting on this. You're looking at number 7, so it's perfect. So so he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayers shall be abomination. Now, you live under grace from the law, Christian. That's what you live up under. You don't believe in one damn iota law. You're an outlaw. Because when you live under grace from the law, hell, you're an outlaw. You lawless. Even Book of Proverbs said there was a lawless generation. The people, you this generation. Now, if we go up to Proverbs 28:7, it says, whosoever keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion or routed man shames his father. Now, let's go to Psalm 68:4. And let's read so we gonna know something. It says, sing unto Yah. You see, they got God there. Sing praises to his name. Extol him that ride upon the heavens by his name, Jah. Well, that was translated out of I-A-H, and that was translated out of Y-A-H, and that's in its semblant form. This ride upon heaven is Yah. It's in the feminine form. Let's go to 5. A father of the fatherless. That's why A. He the father. He the father. He didn't say he was the God. He said that he was the father. And a judge of the winner is Yah in his holy habitation. This is Yah talking about. He is a father, not a God. He is the one to tell you, don't worship gods before him. And he talked bad about you when you worship gods, because gods belong to the Gentile. Now, Yah clearly told you that he made everything for the days of judgment. He made the wicked. And he told you all of this. And when he told you this, you had to understand what he was talking about, because he definitely told you this in the book about, he gave you fair warnings in the book of Isaiah about worshiping new moon festivals. He clearly told you this. So let's go ask ourselves another question. How does y'all feel about you calling him other names of other gods and say it's all right? And you can easily say Yah in this language. Yah is pronounced Yah in every language. It's universal. Everybody universally agrees that it ain't but one way to say Y-A and Y-A-H. I don't give a damn where you go. Look up the language. You'll see Y-A and Y-A-H. I don't care what book of knowledge that you call these people, Bible, that you go to, you don't see Y-A and Y-A-H. This language is the oldest language known to mankind on earth. It was the first. It was the beginning. It before any white person got here. That's why next week, Brother Drew, we're going to talk about this Nephilim and the reptilian. So we let the black folks, the good black folks, know where their white daddy came from.
Oh, okay, we have a few minutes for the one.
Huh?
So we have 2 minutes on the clock.
Okay, let me give you this scripture right quick. Deuteronomy 23:13. And all these things that I have said upon you, be circumstanced and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. You should never use any other word other than Yah out of your mouth. And he can't hear you if you ain't talking to him and asking him that. We'll continue with this hit list next week, Brother Drew, I hope everybody enjoyed it, because we're just going to sit down and go through the Bible and have a little conversation with the Bible. See, we're going to let the fingers do the walking and the Bible do the talking. We're going to ask questions, and we're going to go in this book and answer them like Cole and I did, to find out what's the information that we got now. This is how we travel, and this is called traveling with a hit list. And a hit list is a sniper. A sniper is a man that shoots you in your head. Because if you kill the head, the ass will surely die. So we got to kill the head of white folks teacher so his white ass will surely die. That means school of thought. Till next week, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.